The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is a much-awaited interview because today we're going to talk to someone who's been really in the news on the cusp of a controversy that is riding high in the media. It's the controversy over fat, in particular saturated fat and cholesterol, much stigmatized over the years. And she has written a great book that has been all over the media, and we finally have an opportunity to interview her. She is Nina Teicholz, and the book is The Big Fat Surprise, Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. What an amazing contention. That is a notion that it's just a mind-blowing notion, like how could fat and cholesterol actually be good for you? Nina has written for Gourmet Magazine, The New Yorker, The Economist, New York Times, Washington Post, and she's also covered stories for National Public Radio. And she has really tackled this subject with a great deal of dedication and expertise. Her book is very detailed and very well annotated, so the research in this is immense. And, you know, although you're not an MD, I mean, you really have an investigative journalist flair for this important story. You trace the history of the low-fat delusion, or you know what has become an accepted myth, and why it is now being challenged. And you know, Nina, I took the liberty before this interview of going back into the archives of Time Magazine. You know, Time Magazine this week, in a very timely way, featured a cover that says, it's a big picture of butter. You saw it, of course. It says,
yes, "Eat, of course.
Eat butter. Scientists labeled fat the enemy, why they were wrong." So this big picture of butter, this is 2014. So I went back into the archives of Time Magazine. I went back to 1977. And you may remember the cover. It's a picture of two fried eggs, which are the eyes, and a like a U-shaped bacon, which makes the mouth, but it's flipped over. So it's like a frowny face. And it says, cholesterol, and now the bad news. And it was 1977 that they heralded that. By the way, in the self-same year, 1977,
That was 1984.
Okay, it was 1984.
That was Time, March 26, 1984,
okay.
And that was, yeah.
So you're better informed than I am. I Googled 1977, I got that cover. But approximately the same time, Time Magazine also featured a cover that says, How to Survive the Coming Ice Age. They got that one wrong, I think, too.
That's funny. I didn't realize that.
You may add that to your repertoire now.
Yes, I like that. The Time cover story this week really follows my arguments and lays them all out. And it's great that it's getting this kind of mainstream exposure. And it really is. I mean, it really is, I think, I hope, a turning point in our understanding about fat and saturated fat.
Yep, indeed, because, well, it's finally coming to public awareness, but as you know, the message that low fat was not the way to go was actually a message that was embraced decades ago by the late, great Dr. Robert Atkins and others who kind of went against the grain.
Yeah, it's interesting, and he's actually not a bad place to start, because Dr. Atkins, in his day, he was not the first person to propose a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. It's actually an idea that went back to the late 1800s in England. But that diet would be good for weight loss. But Dr. Atkins had no scientific studies to back up his claims. He's a very successful diet doctor, but he only had his patient files, which can only ever amount to anecdotal evidence. And what has happened in the last decade is there really have, the science has been done. There have been numerous large, really rigorous clinical trials that have been done comparing a low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet to a basically an Atkins diet, a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. And those studies really definitively show on many different kinds of populations that the high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet looks better for heart disease, obesity, and diabetes, for all those markers. You know, people used to think that they'll go on the Atkins diet and they'll gain a waistline, but they'll pay for it later with a heart attack down the line. And these studies really definitively disprove that.
Right. You know, that is that's the counter argument, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, you have received some real pushback to the book, The Big Fat Surprise, which was reviewed in the Wall Street Journal by Trevor Butterworth. And then there was a letter to the editor. I'm going to share it with our listening audience as sort of the contrarian view. In regard to Trevor Butterworth's review of Nina Teicholt's The Big Fat Surprise, this is just the latest in a spate of such books and articles claiming that cholesterol does not cause hardening of the arteries and that fat doesn't matter and that sugar is the only bad guy or some combination thereof. All of them are wrong. And this guy, he's a big shot professor at Professor of Medicine at NYU School of Medicine, Dr. Michael Makeover. He says, as a professor of medicine, an expert in lipidology, the study of cholesterol and its consequences, and the creator and director of a major cardio prevention program, I can attest that, as all my lipidologist colleagues agree, he's saying that everybody agrees, so you're the only one who's an outlier, Nina. Abnormal cholesterol is incontrovertibly the cause of atherosclerosis, and that excess saturated fat is a major contributor to atherosclerosis and other conditions. It's not just unfair for misinformed messages to be widely reported in the media without validation by actual experts. It actually harms countless people, yada, yada, yada. And so what he's saying is, look, I'm the authority. I'm a doctor. I'm an expert on lipids. I treat patients. And so he's pushing back against the...
Right. So we've, you know, it's our third generation of experts who uniformly believe that saturated fats cause your adverse cholesterol effects and that causes heart disease. It clogs your arteries and causes heart disease. That I just as a matter of, you know, historical context for your listeners out there, that idea goes back to the 1950s when the nation was in a panic about the rising tide of heart disease, which had come almost out of nowhere in to become the leading cause of death in the nation. President Eisenhower himself had a heart attack in 1955, was out of the Oval Office, and experts were really desperate for answers. And there was one scientist who came up with the idea that it was saturated fat. That saturated fat caused heart disease, and his name was Ansel Keys. He was a very forceful, kind of outsized personality. He was able to get that idea implanted into the American Heart Association in 1961 with the first ever anti-saturated fat guidelines for middle-aged men to avoid heart disease. At that point, there had been no clinical trials, so there really was no scientific proof. There was some data showing association, but not causation. And then there were, you know, the science that unfolded after that was always interpreted with a bias towards trying to prove a hypothesis that had already been adopted. It became national policy. The American Heart Association, the National Institute of Health, the entire federal government, the USDA first adopted the low-fat diet in 1980. So there was tremendous momentum and a desire to show that this, that the data supported this diet that was adopted before it had been scientifically proven.
Well, you know, it's almost intuitive because when you use the word fat, you almost unconsciously want to append the phrase artery clogging. So it's like fat,
right.
Fat. That's embedded in our consciousness, the idea that if we take it by mouth, it will somehow work its way through our system and lodge in our coronary arteries and cut off blood flow to our heart. We'll have a heart attack.
Right. It's such an intuitive, I mean, it's so ingrained in our beliefs that it just seems like common sense. And so is the idea that eating fat makes you fat. And I call it this, like, the tragic homonym, that the fat you eat is the fat that you get, that we don't have two different words for that, dietary fat and the fat on your body. But, it turns out fat doesn't make you fat, that a high-fat diet is actually the best way to lose weight. But going back to this point about the data and all the experts universally agreeing on the data, one of the things that I did in the near decade that I spent reading all of the original research on and all the original scientific studies was that the early studies that apparently supported this hypothesis that fat and saturated fat were bad for health turned out to be just hugely methodologically flawed and really did not, I mean, just as an example, there was a study called the LA Veterans Study where they didn't even measure half the food that the men were eating. And there were two major studies that were used as the foundational proof that didn't control for smoking. Like, you just couldn't do studies like that today. And but those caveats and problems were sort of forgotten along the way, and there just came to be a consensus about saturated fat and fat being bad for health. And it is true that there are some people with really high cholesterol because they have a what's called familial hypercholesterolemia, which is a genetic problem. Those people are at higher risk for heart disease. And those people kind of skewed all that early data because they distorted the overall data. But people, heart attacks occur just as frequently in people with low cholesterol as they do with high cholesterol. In other words, total cholesterol and even LDL cholesterol turn out to be not reliable predictors of heart attack risk. So I went back and looked at all those original studies and concluded that they didn't really support the hypothesis that saturated fat causes heart disease. And probably more importantly for most listeners, two groups of prestigious scientists did what's called meta-analyses. You know, they looked at all the data on saturated fat and also concluded that saturated fat does not cause heart disease. And that includes experts like, you know, from the University of Berkeley and at Harvard and a number of experts. So it's not true to say that that every expert now agrees on this hypothesis.
And, I'm just coming back to the statement of Dr. Makeover. I think he misrepresents the facts when he says, all my lipidologist colleagues agree incontrovertibly that excess saturated fat is a major contributor to atherosclerosis. Now, that's a controversial proposition. I mean, there's some, and no question, I think some people adhere to the old dogma, old ideas die hard. And look, let's face it. If you, I think what you're saying, I mean, we've got to clarify, is, you know, not like, let's put the feed bag on and let's eat, you know, bacon cheeseburgers and have, you know, lots of milkshakes and, you know, eat a ton of sugar and candy and, you know, you'll be fine because you're eating that healthy saturated fat. It's not that it's got a, you know, it as part of a hypercaloric diet, I mean, it's a source of calories. It's not per se the fat that might be killing us, but just an overconsumption of calories altogether. And you can actually be on a very low-carb diet, eating a fairly high fat and cholesterol diet, and get a improvement in your weight, your lipids, and your health.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's over the last decade, these clinical trials have been done to show that a high-fat diet, even if that fat is saturated, like the kind of fat that's in meat, cheese, butter, eggs, you know, other dairy, that those high fat diets look better for health. If it's high fat and low carbohydrate for every population that they could study and also controlling for weight loss, that those populations look healthier in terms of their outcome for heart disease and diabetes and obesity. So you know, I think that that diet means that you can eat bacon and cheese and eggs, and that doesn't do anything detrimental to your health. You know, the idea that also, just a note on cholesterol in the diet, I mean, the idea that the cholesterol that you eat is translated into the cholesterol in your blood has long been known to be just the weakest of connections.
Absolutely.
Right? Because your body regulates its own cholesterol production in response to how much you eat.
Yeah, and actually, I'm holding in my hands one of the studies that you quote in your lengthy bibliography, which is a 2009 study. It's by Gray and Griffin, Eggs and Dietary Cholesterol, Dispelling the Myth. And, you know, what they're saying here is that there's no evidence that although eggs are high in cholesterol, intuitively you think, well, you know, cholesterol in, you know, we're like passive vessels, and, you know, you add up to the cholesterol that's in your bloodstream. Well, it doesn't turn out that way. We regulate the amount of cholesterol in our bloodstream. There was once a study of a kind of a lunatic guy, an obsessive compulsive schizophrenic guy, who ate every day, he had to eat 88 eggs. know, some incredible number of eggs. And yet his cholesterol was like 165 in spite of that. You know, somehow that was the, you know, experiment that nobody would volunteer for, but this guy signed up for it because he was a nutcase. But, you know, he demonstrated.
Yeah, I mean, and most Western nations have now given up on their limits on dietary cholesterol as part of their nutritional recommendations. And actually, for the first time, the American Heart Association dropped its limit on dietary cholesterol back in December, but it did so so quietly, I think, that nobody ever noticed. But it did conclude in its expert statement that there is no evidence for that recommendation.
But the last time I checked,
it's been a long time coming.
The last time I checked, it was disappointing because they keep saying, well, that you ought to reduce your cholesterol and saturated fat and substitute healthy polyunsaturated oils from nut sources like safflower oil and sunflower oil, which we know are potentially harmful, the omega-6 oils.
Right, and so there are two big consequences that have come about from cutting saturated fats out of our diet. One is that we were told, and we did, switch over to polyunsaturated vegetable oils instead. We did that because we were told it was good. They lowered our cholesterol, and that was really the only aspect of their impact on our biological functions that experts focused on, that they lowered cholesterol. And so since 1961, that first American Heart Association dietary recommendation, we've been told to eat unsaturated vegetable oils instead of saturated fats. So we went from zero consumption of those to now 7 to 8% of all of our calories come from those vegetable oils. And they turn out to be questionable and possibly problematic for health. The other consequence of getting rid of saturated fats is, of course, we've shifted over to carbohydrates. So while we've ramped, you know, we've cut back 11%, we eat 11% less saturated fats than we did in the early 70s. We've ramped up carbohydrates during that time by 25%. That's those foods in the big bottom slab of the food pyramid, you know, grains, pasta, rice, and too many carbohydrates overall, even if they're the better unrefined kind. Too many carbohydrates lead to worse outcomes for chronic disease and weight.
Indeed. Are you gratified by the movie Fed Up, which is actually one of the first movies that decries the American food system without specifically stigmatizing fat and meat and focuses more on refined carbohydrates and soda and sugar as the culprits in our epidemic of degenerative diseases?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really great that this message is getting out there. And, you know, Katie Couric, and you just couldn't ask for better people to promote these ideas that we've been living with for so long. I mean, the American Heart Association was literally recommending that we consume hard candy and sweetened beverages to avoid fatty foods up until I think it's the mid-90s. So we have been told to eat these high-carb foods, even sugar, in place of fatty foods. And so the message about sugar, high-fructose corn syrup, is really getting out there. But I just have to say again that too many carbohydrates, even when they're the better, unrefined kind, you know, we've been told to eat 60% of our diet as carbohydrates, and too many carbohydrates, at that level, it's very hard to control your weight, and you are not doing anything for your risk of diabetes and heart disease.
Well, absolutely. You're talking about insulin as being the mechanism of driving the majority of our cardiovascular risk, and that's carbohydrate-driven for the most part.
Right.
So there was a guy, and you mentioned him in your book, his name is Phil Sokoloff. And he was actually responsible for what he thought was a major transformation in the health of Americans. He was on a crusade, or you might call it a jihad, to eliminate saturated fat from fast food. But beware of the law of unintended consequences, because he created some problems. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an incredible story. I mean, Phil Sokoloff was a lone guy who was a millionaire. He'd had a heart attack in his 40s, I think, and then he later took it up as his cause célèbre to get saturated fats out of the American diet. He took out full-page ads in newspapers, and he particularly went on a crusade against tropical oils, you know, coconut oil and palm oil, and this is in the late 1980s, and he he was incredibly successful. I mean, these full-page ads are, you know, the poisoning of America, and he and people were extremely alarmed by these, and he basically was able to get almost every major food company, you know, people wrote thousands of letters in response to those ads, and food companies, which had been using mainly palm oil, got rid of it. But the unintended consequence was that to get rid of palm oil, food companies had to turn to what's called partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, which is basically just hardened vegetable oil. It's oil that has been hardened through a process called hydrogenation. And that's what makes it more stable, long-lasting. Products can sit on shelves for a long time without going bad. But the byproduct of that that process is that it creates trans fats. So we got rid of palm oil and coconut oil, which were actually just fine for health, and instead we got partially hydrogenated vegetable oils with trans fats. This is a swap out of, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds of these oils in food products. And that was an unintended consequence of that effort. You know, I just have to say that the other group that was campaigning against campaigning against tropical oils was the American Soybean Association, which saw palm oil as their competition.
Right.
And they ran what a top executive just described to me bluntly as a slander campaign against palm oil and coconut oil. And so they also contributed to that switchover.
Yeah, sometimes when I see something that has a lofty goal or, you know, seems to be an effort in the public interest that's undertaken by the food industry, I always try to follow the money trail and see what, you know, whether they're making something cheaper or whether they can, sell, you know, in making low-fat foods, essentially, they can separate the fat out and they can sell you the food two ways. One as, you know, butter or lard, and for those who prefer low-fat food, that costs more because there's a premium value on it.
Yeah. That's true, but I also want to say, although I would not normally be a defender of big food, that they are slavish in following the dietary guidelines. You know, the food companies want American consumers to think their foods are healthy, and that standards of healthiness are set by scientific experts in these nutrition committees at the USDA and the American Heart Association. So food companies really have just been creating products that they've been told to create. They were told that Americans should eat low fat. They created low fat products. And in my book, one of the things that's hard to do is to assign, you know, where is the blame? And I think that I would primarily assign blame to, it was the mistakes of science. There were scientists who really thought they had the answer to heart disease and obesity who simply jumped the gun on the science, used very weak science to establish public health recommendations because there was such a sense of urgency. And that was a mistake of science, and everything has flowed from there.
Okay, this is a good inflection point for us to conclude part one of our interview with Nina Teicholz. The Big Fat Surprise is her new book. I recommend it very highly. And when we return, we're going to talk about some of the dubious scientific assumptions that led us to take a big wrong turn on dietary recommendations in America. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.